We talked about you a little bit after that first start against the Blue Jays and the season you're having. It's incredible what you've been able to accomplish this year in your first full season in the major leagues, and how you're kind of going under the radar in this country. Do you get a sense that, you know, as far as Canadians are concerned, like, you're not necessarily a household name yet?
It's kind of tough too, because I'm still young to the point where I haven't had that much time to be around as much. You know, it's one of those things where it happened so quickly from my junior days, and really being one of those guys on the junior team too. When I started there, I wasn't really known of, because I was a late grower. I kind of came into my abilities pretty late. So it's just one of those things that developed the way it did. But, definitely in the community in Calgary, starting to see some impact, and I want to make sure that's felt when I go back in the off season and do my part for helping them out as well.
Well, how big has that changed since the series against the Toronto Blue Jays? Because I'm guessing that your interview requests went through the roof.
There's always interview requests after we get done, with bigger things, all the way from Vancouver all the way to the East Coast. Even mostly in chosen Calgary that I've been on before, and they know me a little better. But, definitely it's been nice to talk to some people back home, and home being the entire country of Canada, and obviously just try and get out there as well.
Let's be honest, being a Calgary guy, do you feel like Toronto, like you're like, it's playing in Canada, but also you probably grew up like hating the Leafs. Like, I'm guessing that you got a little bit of hate for Toronto. Hockey hate.
No, definitely no hate for Toronto. Definitely not. I'm definitely not a Leafs fan. Definitely Flames all the way. But I mean, we still take Toronto in as Canada, and it still feels like, you know, partially going home. You start to see the Canadian brands, you know, start to see Tim Hortons, all that kind of stuff. But it certainly is a distance away, and I wouldn't say it's exactly my backyard, like a lot of people tend to think. But it's still, growing up watching the Blue Jays, it still feels more like home than any other place will.
Well, I was just watching Hard Knocks, and Luke Wilson, who is a BC guy, right? Oh, no, he's Ontario.
No, he's from Windsor.
Yeah, he's from Windsor. That's right. I always associate him with that because he played for the Seahawks. So I'm watching this episode of Hard Knocks, and the way that his teammates are asking him different questions about Canada, I was like, that would be to a degree annoying, but he seemed to be embracing it pretty well. Do you remember the dumbest question you got from a teammate before you guys came to Toronto?
There's probably a couple, honestly. I mean, it just...
Share them all.
Like Luke said, you kind of embrace it, and sometimes you even play along with any of them. I don't know if I can pick one out. You have some people that don't quite understand how big Canada is. Mm-hmm. They ask, how far is the drive from Rogers Center to your place? And I couldn't tell
really
you.
Really far.
A couple days.
33 hours or something like that. And then they realize, oh, wow, you're close to Alaska. And I said, oh, no. Not quite even close to there, too. So, all those little things. You kind of play along with it and you embrace it because, I have a lot of pride for Canada.
What's the thing you miss most about this country, living here?
I miss the summers. I have not got a cool summer since I started playing baseball. I got sent right down to Florida in June of 2015. And then ever since then, it's been in the Southeast, and Mississippi, Georgia summers are not even close to what you get in Calgary. So honestly, it's been the cool air. So it's kind of nice to go back up there and get some of that in the middle of our summer down here.
Yeah, it's a great point because, unless you're a weirdo, dislike winter to various degrees. But yeah, summers in this country are pretty sweet. You're supposed to strike people out in 2019. You're aware of this, right? Like, strikeout numbers are through the roof. Like, how are you able to get by with such few strikeouts and then keeping the ball in the yard?
Obviously the game I pitched in Rogers Center.
Yeah.
I only had one. And a lot of that was because of mis-executed two-strike pitches. you know, obviously you don't start pitch one trying to strike people out. It kind of just happens. I think everybody will tell you that. You know, and it's just a matter of finishing guys off a little more. But, I mean, yesterday I had six. I've had seven, eight, nine on a couple occasions this year. And I would say it's still a pretty big part of my game because those are my better games. They're when I'm striking people out, too. So I wouldn't say that that's lost. And especially, obviously, not making excuses, but especially just coming into a new league. And obviously, it is a completely different level. There's very few that come up and start striking out the world when they first come up. That's kind of something that is learned. And finishing guys is a little different than getting ahead. So, obviously, keeping the ball in the yard has been huge for me this year. And keeping the damage low. Keeping those solo shots, like, I mean, you look at Verlander's numbers this year, although he's close to the league lead in home runs, it's about all he's given up. They've all been solo shots, and that means he's being aggressive in the zone, and it's going to happen. So I think a lot of success this year has just come from limiting damage and making sure that innings don't get out of control. You know, you give up two instead of five, and that's where games are won and lost.
All right, so you obviously took that as like a pejorative that you didn't strike people out. I mean, that wasn't the way it was intended, and I figured, you know, okay, maybe it wasn't a conscious effort, but I remember Roy Halladay, and he had some big strikeout years with the Toronto Blue Jays, but would try to resolve an at-bat early in the at-bat and limit his pitch count. Is that something that you're consciously doing, or is it actually, you know what, you would like to strike up more guys and like, as you, like you said, as your career progresses, you have more time in the National League, you expect the strikeout numbers to go up.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the perfect way of putting it, actually, is, you know, coming up, having some pitching coaches that you obviously value innings, and that's going to be a premium in our league for years to come, especially with the way it's going. Being able to throw innings and give your manager confidence that you can still take your stuff into the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, that's going to be just as big as anything. But you know, we've always been told coming up the minor leagues. So my favorite pitching coaches, one of the things was, you know, you either get them out or give it up quick. You know, what really grueled on you and what kills you is those 7-8 pitch at bats. Cause sometimes you're going to get them out and sometimes you're going to end up throwing 2-30 pitch innings in the course of a game. And that's just not efficient. So I think taking the approach that, yeah, you want to get them out within three pitches. So yeah, if you end up 0-2, you want to put them away for the strikeout. But you know, ground outs on the first, second, third pitch of the inning or the at bat are just as valuable in the long run. So I do think that strikeout numbers will continue to go up, especially as some other pitches get refined and executed better with two strikes. You know, all that stuff will come. But yeah, definitely. Efficiency is going to be, you know, it's going to be a big part of our game, especially with the way it's going.
Talking to Mike Soroka, be honest. If Josh Donaldson were on an opposing team, like say he was on the Phillies or something, and he was doing that celebration after hitting a bomb off you, how would you feel?
I honestly really don't mind it too much. You know, it's when it gets back into the dugout, and it's really not too much different than the Ed Wing around first base, really. I mean, that's something that he made his own. And that's something that I think more people love than not. I don't think he's doing it to show up the pitcher. I don't think a lot of celebrations are doing it to show up the pitcher now. You know, it's just the way our game's moving, and I think that creates a lot of fun for all of us. I know the Nationals have had their fun in the dugout as well, with home runs being hit, and I think that's fun. That's how you keep things different and you avoid the monotony of being out here every single day. If all you're doing is high fives after every home run, when you got three guys with potentially 40 home runs, you got to make something to keep those home runs special.
Yeah, preach. I'm cool with that. We're still waiting for the first real example of, like, you know, throwing props in there for a pitcher celebration, right? Like after a big strikeout, end the inning, maybe you strike out the side. Maybe there's a celebration in Mike Soroka's future. Probably not as a rookie, but like, could you ever see yourself maybe doing something?
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? You got to be careful too, because, you know, we talk a lot about as pitchers not making sure that you lose your cool too early, because, you know, you might have a big strikeout in the third inning with the bases loaded. And you might want to let it go, but you want to make sure that you don't peak in the third inning, because then you come out in the fourth flat and then you get hit anyways. So I think there is times for it. And obviously, as a rookie, it's a little tougher to find those times. But, you know, I think in the future there will be something to liven that up as well.
Yeah. You know, I never really thought about it until you mentioned it. But, yeah, absolutely, in the dugout is still better. Like, it seems way worse when you look at it on camera where you're like, oh, yeah, Josh Donaldson doing
it. And everybody's watching. Josh is like, no, the game is continuing. Yeah, I guess he's
you're just seeing it. Like, that's your perspective from television or a highlight reel that, yeah, you know what? The Ed Wing would be much more insulting, I think, to a pitcher.
Well, like, Josh also holds the umbrella going around the bases.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's a little bit of both. But, yeah, that one wouldn't be as bad. Hey, I got to pick your brain on it. You're not going to face him again this year, and so I think that, you know, it's not as bad to put it out there, but what was your approach like with Vlad?
Yeah, I mean, obviously knowing what he could do and having seen what he could do before either of us were even signed, I actually pitched against him in the Dominican when he was when they were playing with their prospect team. I was down there with Team Canada, and watching him hit BP, he was going back and forth with Naylor, trying to put on a show. So right from there, you can see that he was different, and having seen what he did all the way up, saying, and that's not an accident. You don't show up every single day and do what he does without, talent that not many people have. So, you need to be a little more careful because he's a guy that can beat you, in all parts of the zone. And he's a guy that can, beat you out of the zone too. So you really kind of have to plan your sequencing a little better. You know, tunnel your pitches a little better, and make sure that you switch things up because, you know, you might beat him on one pitch in the first at bat, but he's making sure he doesn't get beat on a second time. And that's what all the great hitters in the game do. They change their approach and they do whatever they can to beat you. So, yeah, it really is just to kind of show him everything and go off of what he shows me.
Okay, so I know you're a big Flames fan, and I'm guessing that when you go on home radio, you get to talk a little bit more Flames, and that maybe your teammates aren't as up on the Calgary Flames stuff as you are. Like, I doubt you and Ronald Acuña are having talks about, you know, Riddick. Like, I don't think those things are going down. No. So you get an opportunity to tell me which of the things that is giving you the most anxiety when it comes to the upcoming Flames season. Number one, RFAs and the Tkachuk signing. Number two, having Riddick and Cam Talbot as your goalies going into the year in a season where, yeah, team looks pretty good. Or number three, potentially losing a trade to the Oilers, the Neil Lucic deal.
I'm definitely more worried about the RFA and Tkachuk. You know, that's my favorite player on the team right now. I think he's one of the guys that nobody wants to play against, and I mean he's just a guy that I've enjoyed watching for the last few years. But, you know, I don't worry too much about goaltending. We saw what Riddick can do last year, and we know what Cam Talbot can do. I think as a professional athlete, you're going to hit points in your career where it's just not the same, and you got to adapt. So I think that's what they're both going to do. And, you know, I think Lucic is going to add a good spot to that lineup, especially if Tkachuk gets back. Having them both in the same lineup might be a tough one to come in and play against. So, I'm not too worried about that one as well.
That's how I know you're a true Flames fan, because you like Riddick. Like, you're overly optimistic about him, which is like every Flames fan's corner, which is like, oh, no, he's good. You guys don't really know everywhere else. Like, he's great. He's going to be great. And the other one is that you probably skewered your buddies who are Oilers fans for the Lucic contract forever, and now he's on your team, and you're like, well, he's going to be tough to play against, buddy. he's going to come in, and Lucic is going to be bad old Lucic, just, you know, cracking skulls. It's going to be great. So, yeah, I think you are a huge Flames fan. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. I'll take in as many games as I can when I get home.